Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hey, and I am Puma.
And on this podcast, Puma, what do we do?
Oh, yeah. We talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between.
Everything in between.
So, and we're super glad that you joined us today. It's 2026.
That's crazy.
It's been a crazy holiday season we just went through,
yeah.
And life has been joyfully turned upside down in our family with...
Yep.
A new addition, and we've really, Papa Puma here is very excited to have a grandson, and so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's good. Honestly, Jonathan is a blessing. My son is a blessing, but it has changed things from sleepless nights, and, you know, I got 3.5-4 hours of sleep, last night, this night, whatever it is, I'm a bit dazed and confused. But that's good, though, because...
Right. So it is daytime right now?
It is.
Yes.
It is,
yeah.
So, I'm on Tokyo time right now. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's good. But all the pressures and all the joys and excitement and all the concerns that come along with that, but it's super exciting, And as we start a new series today, thinking about, this year, 2026, and what God has for me and, for you, Tori, and for all of us. We're really thinking, what would be really, really helpful. So we're going to start something new today. But, as we do that, Tori, I would like to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Right? So you're a new dad.
Yes, sir.
Okay, a new dad. So Jonathan is, several months old. What do you think you have noticed with him? Like, what's one glaring truth that you have noticed about your son?
Yeah, good question. What have I noticed? Honestly, I am not that patient. People without sleep can be very different people. And, post 10 weeks in, I'm realizing that I need to be way more woefully dependent upon God. And I need to be way more in prayer than I am. I realized that I used to, not that I've never been like, oh, I'm so great. Like, oh, look at me. But I think when I'm well rested and I have to have a meeting, I have to teach a lesson, I'm not as dependent because I know the content. Not that I wing it, but I don't feel as, I'm more prepared, right? And now I think with less time, less sleep, I'm like, goodness, Lord, I have always needed you, but now I'm like, I got nothing. I can't even talk right. But yeah, definitely a dependency upon God has shown me how much I wasn't dependent upon God.
Mm-hmm.
I think a baby is.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because I think I asked, what have you noticed about Jonathan? But you can't help but talk about what you notice in yourself.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, it's one of those, because honestly, children or just events in life, God uses them to stretch us, shape us, reveal things about himself to us that maybe we missed or just were not aware of, and also reveal things about ourselves, our own heart.
Yeah.
And which is great. I mean, I think that's a great, great answer, a great response. But, when I look at you, your whole world's been turned upside down because Jonathan now occupies the center of your life.
Yes.
As a family.
Yep.
He needs, constant attention and rightfully so, right? I mean, he is, all hands on deck because he's so completely dependent and completely needy, right? But when he's 18, is it going to be the center of the family's attention and all hands on deck because Jonathan walked into the house?
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. Yeah. 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 I mean, and we recognize that, right? I mean, when a baby that's completely helpless and dependent and, they cry, it's because they're hungry or because they're tired or they got, burpees in there or something in their pants, right? That needs to be changed. And so we take care of them. We cater to their needs. And rightfully so. But there's something about the sin nature in the heart of every person, every child, that desires to be the center of the room, the attention, right? We crave that. We want life to be about us. The sinful heart wants life to be about us. And, as you are, and even as a parent, right? I mean, I've had a few kids and, gone through the same, struggles and tiredness and all that. And it really, as a parent, I know even still, right, all you kids are grown up, but I still reveals in my heart how much I want my life to still be about me. Mm-hmm. I want my kids still to understand what I want them to be doing and all of that. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard to it's hard to take yourself outside of the center of your own universe.
Mm.
It is, you know, and have to fight that all the time. And so that's this thing. And as we start this new series, what's the title of our new series?
Yeah, The Story of God. What is the overarching story of God? What is God's story, right? I mean, what does that even mean, the story of God, right?
Yeah, well, so you have a Bible there. I have a Bible, you know. So the Bible is a book, right?
True.
The Bible is a book. Is a Bible just a book of rules? Sometimes people get this idea the Bible is just a book of rules and, you know, what to do and not to do. Is the Bible a book that tells a story?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree. It tells a story and lots of stuff in there. So who's the main character of this book?
It's God.
It's God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is amazing to me that, you know, people go to the Bible and, you know, they read everything and they still read the Bible expecting God's word to make much of themselves.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. We don't like it when we read something and God says, I am wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right. Well, why, who does God think he is to tell me that I'm wrong? Right.
Mm.
Or why should I, you know, and so you have this battle of wills.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the Bible is a book. It is a story. The main character of the Bible is God.
Mm.
And we want to title this new series as we begin is the story of God. And we're going to go through 12 episodes.
Okay.
Go through 12 episodes. It's kind of 12 chapters, 12 sweeping big ideas from the beginning of the Bible to the end that hopefully for you as well as for us will hopefully maybe get a grasp on sort of the big picture plot line of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Many people pick up the Bible, man, it's hard, it's confusing to read. Does it have any, is there, you know, how do all the stories in the Bible fit in?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever wondered that? You know, you hear a lesson or, you know, maybe we were a kid in Sunday school or you hear a sermon and it's like, wow, that's really interesting, but I'm not sure how that connects with everything else.
Mm,
I don't know if you've had those experiences.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially people that aren't as churched, right? They might know, maybe, you know, David and Goliath. But yeah, when it comes to Jesus, like how in the world does that fit?
Yeah. Well, how does David and Goliath fit into the big, well, what's the point? It's a fun story, cool story, right? We need to slay our giants, as I hear people, you know, say with that. But what does that have to do with anything?
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a 10,000-foot view, looking at the big overarching story of the Bible. And really today, as we kind of introduce this, is that the Bible really is the story of God. It's not the story of you and me.
Mm.
Yeah. We are not the main characters of the story.
Yep.
So Genesis 1:1, the very first verse of the very first book of the Bible, says, "In the beginning, God made much of Tori and Puma." Right? Is that what it says?
Not my Bible.
No. In the beginning,
God created.
God created.
Yeah.
In the beginning, God created. In the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 1, John picks up on that same theme. And you know, John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we know in context, a few verses down, that the Word is referring to Jesus, who took on flesh.
Yeah.
The Bible begins just, you know, right at the beginning that God exists and God is God doing God things.
Yeah.
And one of the God things that he does is he creates. And what does he create? He creates people, Adam and Eve, and then consequently all of us.
Hmm.
We, people, are not the main point of the Bible.
Right.
The Bible, you know, I think even in our trying to be good and righteous, we get the impression we come to church on a Sunday morning as if somehow our Sunday morning worship is about us.
Hmm.
We come to a Sunday school class and we think somehow that Sunday school class is about us. right? I get married and I think somehow the marriage is about us, or even me and my wife. I have a child, somehow I think, you know, it's about us. I get a job and somehow I think it's about me and about us. Everything we do, we think it's about us. But the Bible doesn't tell us that all things exist for us.
Right. In fact, it tells us the opposite.
It says the exact opposite.
Yeah.
That we exist to be at odd at something that far transcends us. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You read Genesis chapter 1 and God creates Adam and Eve. And we'll talk about that, you know, in a future podcast. And then chapter 2, you have Adam. And Adam is, you know, there and he doesn't have a complement. And God says, I want you to, you know, name all the animals. You know, Adam isn't thinking, wow, this is making much of me. Right?
Right.
Is Adam in the Garden of Eden thinking, wow, I am so great?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Adam was in the garden, Eve was in the garden, and it says that they were in this place that God created. They were creations that came from the loving, creative, purposeful, moral, holy, merciful heart of Almighty God. It's pretty amazing. It's what God is doing, not what we are. So really, kind of a paradigm shift in our thinking as we kind of go through the series is this big point, you know, that the Bible is a story of God and all of life is about God, not about us. That we are, if you want to say, characters in the story. We are kind of major characters in the story because of who we are as God's creation. And we'll talk about that in a future podcast. But it is the story of who God is.
Yeah. Well, Pumla, let me ask you. So why is it important that we know the story of God? Because I've been talking to, well, lots of people, but in the past, some teens, like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, I know the Bible. I know Jesus is important. Why does the rest of the Bible matter, right? And not to put Old versus New Testament into clash, but I'll hear people say, if you have Jesus, that's all you need. Like, why does the overarching view of the Bible, the story of God, some theologians have called it, you know, the love letter God wrote to us.
Yeah.
But like, why should we care? I mean, okay, yeah, lots of stories. There is probably an overarching theme, but why does that matter?
Yeah, you know, well, a great question. You know, why does that matter? You know, I grew up near Niagara Falls, and I've talked about that in previous podcasts. But, you know, people from all over the world come to Niagara Falls, and they don't come to Niagara Falls to feel good about themselves. You come to Niagara Falls to be awed or enamored or to be wowed by something that transcends you, something that seems to be larger than life, something that seems to be glorious and amazing.
A wonder of the world.
Well, yeah, it's one of the seven natural wonders of the world. Why is it that people will spend thousands and thousands of dollars to travel from other countries even to go, you know, to Niagara Falls, New York, to stand there and watch water fall off a cliff? I mean, just think about that, right?
That's true.
To watch water fall over a cliff. Why?
Yeah.
Why is that? It's because you and I, as we are created, we were created with a capacity and a desire to be awed by something greater than us. And sin in the sinful heart flips that upside down, that we still are worshipers, because it's called worship, right? To give worth or value, you know, to something great, to be awed by something. And that is in the heart of all of us. What is the greatest fill in the blank, that transcends all fill in the blank thing? What is the greatest to be awed or admired or, you know, worshipped or the most all glorious? It is God. It is God Himself. That we were created with a capacity and a purpose to give honor and worth and glory to that which is most honorable and most worthy and most glorious, and that is God Himself. Nothing transcends God. He is the ultimate. He is the most majestic. He is the most precious. He is the most prized. And so God creates mankind with this purpose to worship or be in awe of Him. So you ask the question, why does this matter, the story of God? Because even, you know, your question, why have Jesus? That's enough. As if somehow Jesus exists for us. You see, even everything in our theological, spiritual lives, you know, prayer, oh, prayer is for us. Sunday morning worship is for us. This song is for me, right? This relationship is for me. Now, I'm not saying that we don't, you know, find value and use out of these things, but none of that is for us. None of it's for us, right? And to really get to understand how amazing God is, you need the entire Bible. You need the entire Bible for God to reveal who He is, what He is about, and why He alone is to be known and worshipped and valued above, treasured above all things. And so the Bible is the story of God, and you and I get to be a part of this amazing thing. See, when we understand how amazing God is, we don't feel bad that we're not made much of, because we were made to be awed by something greater than us. No one goes to the Grand Canyon excited about how great they are.
That's right?
They only take pictures of the Grand Canyon with ourselves in it so we can tell people that we were there, we saw something amazing.
It's our posts, our likes, our viewings that we get.
But it's just a picture of me, and but what makes the picture amazing is the Grand Canyon's in it. Or that Niagara Falls is in it, or whatever it is that is amazing. And so we are going to look through 12 kind of chapters or snapshots, kind of the big picture from the beginning to the end of the Bible, hopefully to give us a picture of what God is doing, that what has God done, what is God doing in human history, what is He doing in our lives, what does God desire of us, and for us to know that we can have a real relationship, a real connection, a real part of this grand story of making much of Almighty God.
Well, that's great, Puma. And I love how you said, like, what, you know, the answer. Why is it important to know the story of God? Because knowing the story of God shapes the object of our worship. And the more we know about the story of God, the more we will worship Him. And so, Puma, with that, you know, what is a good AQ for us in this kind of introduction? Again, 10,000-foot view of the story of God. What's a good AQ for us?
It's a good application question. And that's, you know, when you said, you know, the story of God for worship, and understanding the whole big picture of the story helps us make more sense of the mundane things or the small things or the details. So the details have meaning because they're connected to the whole. Right? The moments of life, and even the moments that sometimes are confusing, when I understand the big picture, it actually, makes sense. Or, that there's purpose or reason. It's not just haphazard, right? That this God who began all things has a purpose for all things. There's a future for all things, and it's all up for Him, and I get to be a part of that. I love what you know, John Piper wrote in his book, God is the Gospel, and, you know, in the introduction, he says this. He says, the acid test of biblical God-centeredness and faithfulness to the gospel is this. Do you feel more loved because God makes much of you, or because at the cost of His Son, God enables you to enjoy making much of Him forever? And that's really the applicational question as we begin. You know, do you like God because He makes you feel good about yourself? Or do you want to know God so that you can enjoy Him and desire to make much of Him forever? You know, which is it? Is your life centered around God making much of you? Or do you want your life to be centered around you making much of God? And all that, that really is dependent upon your understanding of yourself and your understanding of who God is and what He's all about. And so that's what we're going to look at in the series. And so looking forward to that, and should be a lot of fun.
Well, no, thank you, Puma, and thank you, guys. I mean, yeah, what a fun series to go over the, again, not detail, not all the actual individual stories, but the big ideas, the story of God through, you know, a dozen different key aspects of the Bible. I'm excited because you're right. I don't want to live life with this concept of God is about me, the Bible is about me, salvation is about me, and the story of God.
And it's so tempting.
It is.
Everything in my world tells me that I should be the center of every moment and every activity, every relationship. It just, it really takes God supernaturally working in my life to see that that is exactly opposite of what reality should be.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's a good IQ. Do I want to know the story of God to take much of me, or do I want to know the story of God to take much of him?
Yeah,
that's good. Well, thank you, Puma. And guys, thank you so much. If you have any questions or comments, as always, feel free to reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next month, Fridays at 10:10, and we'll see you there. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.